during that time frame, that 60-day time frame, is that if parties wish to submit briefs, that would come out of the time frame. The hearing officer would have to prepare a proposed decision. The final decision maker must review the decision, and if there is any determination to review the record would need to be prepared and reviewed within that time period. There are many complex and controversial cases that come before hearing officers and agencies for determination, and this deadline could not be met in those kinds of cases. To give you an example, in a recent Medicaid rate case, an attorney for the private party indicated that the transcript was 1,500 pages long and had taken more than 4 weeks, about 4.5 weeks to prepare, and that person wanted to have more than a month to prepare the brief that would be filed after the record had been closed, so that the hearing officer would be able to benefit from the analysis by the party. So clearly you could not even allow for that process within a 60-day window between the close of the record and a proposed decision, let alone a final decision. So that's a concern for the interests of the parties, as well as whether or not the administrative hearing process could even work. The other deadline is that the hearing must be concluded within 2 years. And again, there are complex proceedings in which both parties agree that there's a need to develop testimony, to have time to talk to experts, to find out what the facts are before the actual hearing. There's briefing to be done. Sometimes there's a parallel criminal proceeding which must be concluded before the administrative proceeding can start. And sometimes there's a parallel civil proceeding, and to require both proceedings to go on simultaneously would double the cost for the party, and would certainly not be preferable for that party. And that if the party requested a stay under this, there's no provision under the bill that would provide that any request for an extension would stop the clock, basically, on whether or not the administrative hearing would be canceled. The other concern is that the preparation of the transcript certainly takes time, and the final decision maker cannot change the proposed decision made by the attorney who acts as hearing officer without reviewing the record. Some agencies actually do that by listening to the tape. And so if you've got, for example, I learned that the Human Rights Commissioners listen to the tapes of the proceedings, and those proceedings may take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that's a lot of listening time that has to be completed before they can reach their own decision about what should happen in a case. And again, couldn't be met within that 60-day window. This bill needs to be drafted in such a way as to recognize that respondents sometimes are legitimately requesting delay, and sometimes they're causing delay by not being cooperative, by not meeting deadlines, in which case they could manipulate the whole process and get the process kicked over to the Superior Court. Any of that time should be excluded from the clock, either legitimate request for delay or delay that they have caused by their own manipulation. The remedy, which is provided in the bill, is an extreme remedy. Currently, parties have the power to petition the Superior Court to request the agency to act, and certainly if the agency is acting unreasonably, is sending the matter back for development of facts that aren't relevant to the final decision, failing to even prepare a final decision or a proposed decision, certainly the party can petition the Superior Court to compel the agency to act. And this, the remedy under this bill, however, is that the you have to start over in the Superior Court. And the as a result of that, the agency costs, which have incurred heretofore, and the respondent's costs for that matter, that has incurred heretofore in the agency proceeding are lost, and you start over in the state court. And state court, of course, is by definition, it's more formal and it's more expensive, more time-consuming than the administrative adjudication. So you've really got, you're starting over, and that's an expensive and extreme penalty for failing to meet these timelines. Another concern I have is the role of the lieutenant governor that's been injected in a couple of stages in this proceeding. That is going to open administrative adjudications to the political process, to political pressure, which may not be the public interest. It would be an unknown quantity. There's no discussion here what standards lieutenant governor would exercise in deciding whether or not to extend the time for a hearing or to extend or to allow reopening of a record. There's no standards for discretion here, nor are there any preclusions on ex parte contact, so that especially when you're dealing with an elected official, there's no limits on what kind of secret contacts could be made to impact an adjudicative hearing. So that itself is another concern that we're requesting that you take into consideration in Section 14. Mm-hmm. If there's no questions, I'll turn it over to Deborah Baird to talk about the regulations.
Mrs. Williams, I'd appreciate if you put that in writing, as much of that as you can, so we can go through it. It's a little hard to follow the testimony. Senator Donna?
Chairman, as the witness referred to, the proposed CS deals with some of these issues, not all of them. One of the things that I thought would be helpful today, if the committee felt comfortable, was possibly getting the proposed CS adopted so that the public comments in the future could refer to that, because we've addressed many of these concerns and made progress towards dealing with them and doing that.
Senator Adams?
Mr. Chairman, the minority member here would have no objections to that, as long as we can get a section analysis between judiciary and Senate finance, so we can at least look at them, and that's one of the requests that we would have.
I think there is one. I have one.
I think there should be that analysis.
Senator Donnelly, if you can walk us through it in a couple of minutes, let's go ahead.
The specific changes were changes in that Section 2. We tried to reach a middle ground with the steps we were going to, the word clearly instead of reasonable in the original bill, and it was very problematic. The executive was very concerned about that, so we've tried to come up with a sort of a middle ground between clearly and reasonable, and this is what our drafters came up with. Instead of saying that it had to be clearly what was necessary, we had to say that the reasonable approach was clearly within the intent, and that I asked him to try to strike some middle ground there so that looking at that, they have a little more flexibility than being clearly necessary, but a little less than just being reasonable, so they can just do anything. Section 12, in the time limits for adoption, tried to make some specific exception that because it didn't get adopted in 2 years, we don't want the court to hold the regulation invalid. What we're trying to do here is encourage them to adopt the regulation, not to hold the regulation invalid. So we wanted to make sure that that wasn't the remedy. If they finished their work in 2 years and 1 day, we wanted it to be valid. We're trying to encourage them to get the job done. And Section 13, we rewrote that. that section to ensure the reverse the presumption. In the judiciary version, the presumption was that the regulation wasn't valid if it didn't meet those criteria, and we reversed that presumption in the sectional amount in the DS to say the regulation is valid unless people who are challenged, they have the burden of proof to prove that those specific criteria weren't met. Section 14, which is one of the section that the witness just discussed, tried to address not all the witnesses' concerns, but some of them by replacing the term final administrative order with the term proposed administrative order, and also adds an additional 30 days to the 60-day period by which time a final administrative order could be provided, so that you've got an additional period of time there, a longer extension than 60 days the witness was concerned about. And we also, I want to add this that's been passed out. My motion to adopt the CS would incorporate these changes also. And that specific resolution, you know, one of the testimony of the witness was you might have a parallel criminal case. To put a specific exemption also in there for if there's a parallel criminal case, to wait till the resolution of that criminal case.
Senator Donnelly, we don't have that.
We don't have that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Give it to the secretary, they hadn't been distributed yet. And also, the concern that the witness had regarding the board meetings, we put a provision in here, suggested a provision that it be allow the period of time until the next board meeting so that they'd have a regular scheduled board meeting and then give them 30 days after that board meeting. As it is now, the problem would be the board may not meet until a period of time outside that time period. And so to allow a specific exception with the board making the final decision that you give them you wait till their next scheduled meeting and then say 30 days after that. So they'd have to put it in a writing what they decided. So I think generally, Mr. Chairman, I think people would find that these changes are all trying to address specific issues that we worked on since the Judiciary Committee. And there's nothing here that, you know, is real radical or it's all things that temper the effects of this legislation rather than making it more effective. It's trying to add more time factors into the executive.
You want to make a motion, Senator Donner?
I'd make a motion to adopt the CS, the version N by Bannister 3899, also incorporating that motion. It all just be one package. That would be the CS before the committee.
Just, I'm going to object just for one question.
Senator Adams.
With the two differences that you have listed, 2, 12, 13, and 14, does any of those changes alter or change or no change the numerous fiscal notes that we have before us?
Boy, that's tough because, you know, the departments all have their own position on the fiscal notes. I can't really speak for the departments. But these things give them more time and mitigate the impacts of the bill, so they're not going to increase the fiscal notes. Okay, that.
Mr. Chairman, we'll look into that, but I would remove my objection from the adoption.
Okay. Motion is that we adopt version N along with amendment number 8, or amendment number 1. Is there objection? Hearing none, the committee has adopted version N, Bannister 3899. With that, we will hold this bill over for more work. And we'll bring it back up at the next opportunity. Remember the amendments to supplemental are due in by 11th.
5 minutes.
Today. With that, the committee will stand adjourned.